Welcome, Lund loyalists, YouTubers watching on John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective, those watching on X and Instagram and listening on Apple and Spotify. It's John Lund Unleashed and johnlundunleashed.com. Brought to you by Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. Right now featuring amazing stem cell technology. For all your pain and for the guys, check out the latest in low T and testosterone therapy to make you feel like yourself again. Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center at riopelcosmetic.com. Now, all juiced up and ready to go. Here's Johnny.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. There is your show cover for episode 112. Where will they finish? Finally, I'm going to say our long national nightmare will be over, but updating this every day is exhausting. They got a little bit of help last night. Minnesota ends up winning. They beat Memphis. Ja is still throwing grenades into the stands. Isn't it nice having a guy like Steph Curry around? We don't have to worry about that. We don't even think about it. Gun gestures and all that kind of stuff, whatever. I don't care. You're supposed to be my team leader. I paid you like it, but no big deal. Episode 112. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to a Friday edition of John Lund Unleashed, however you are watching. Thank you, thank you, thank you for making the time for our show today. In fact, let me make sure we're live everywhere. We are now. We're all set up with everything. So that means John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Thanks for joining us. Please make sure that you subscribe, John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Get those alerts on. Please take just a second right now and hit that like button. There's not an unlike button, I don't think, but hit that like button. It helps the algorithm, helps people find us. Thank you. Also, Bay Area Sports Collective, that's where I am. Polly Mack, of course, Polly Mack's Particles from the Murph and Mack Morning Show on KMBR and Tom Tolbert, the Tom Tolbert Show. So that one, and we'll be adding as we go along. So make sure that you do yourself a favor and hit us up on Bay Area Sports Collective. If you are watching on Instagram this morning, good morning to you. Seeing the numbers climb as we jump on X at John Lund Radio. Twitch, you can find us there. LinkedIn when you're supposed to be working or sourcing or something. Facebook as well. My personal page, John Lund or John Lund Unleashed. You can join that as well. We got a ton going on today before we take roll call. A Warriors update, finally, the final one on a Friday. Now, tomorrow, we'll do the show at 10 a.m. on Saturdays, as we always do. And I suppose we'll give you an update, too. But they've got Portland tonight. They've got the Clippers at home on Sunday, which could be between the fifth and the sixth seed. But if they win out, it's as simple as this. If they win out, they're the sixth seed. That's as simple as that. Now, could they move up higher? Yes. But as it stands right now, just get out of the play-in because that makes me nervous. The one-and-done type of things make me nervous. As I have detailed many, 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 many times. So two left, very simple. Last night, we'll tell you how that went. How deep of a run could they make? Inside the NBA, I can tell you as a guy who worked for ESPN for 10 years, I was a little bit sad last night because it was their final Thursday night. And they'll do playoffs and those kind of things. But the only reason I'm sad, not sad, I don't, whatever. It's not going to affect my life in a great way. But the only reason I guess I'm, whatever the term is I know that things will get ESPN-ized. That's just how it's going to be. The ESPN-ized way that things are going to do it. I just know ESPN. It's not going to be the exact producers and these people that you don't see behind the scenes. And you're going to be kind of like, what is going on? Now, maybe they'll leave the thing alone, but we'll get into that a little bit. I just know ESPN. And they've left Pat McAfee alone for the most part. I just hope they don't mess with the show. I just hope against hope. I just know how they work. That they're somehow going to try to put Screamin' A on this show. And I just hope guys like Charles Barkley have it in their contract or something. Like, this is the show. The show is not Stephen A. Smith. The show is not. And I have a piece to play for you today from Bob Myers. And Bob is so brilliant. And my relationship with Bob Myers goes all the way back to his Portland days when he was the agent for one Brandon Roy. And if Brandon Roy didn't rip up his knee and he basically was bone on bone and they just couldn't figure the whole thing out. So his career ended early. Brandon Roy was a really nice player for the Blazers, really had a bright future in front of him. Bob Myers was his agent, and we had him on before then. And then Pop and I used to have him on weekly, both on 95.7 and on KNBR. And he's just a really smart guy, and it flies in the face of everything that ESPN is doing. So he was on the set last night with Kendrick Perkins and and Brian Windhorst and, you know, and all those guys. It's just, you know, you have a take. And then Bob is just like, look, this is the way things are. And he had a really interesting thought on the dynamic between coaches and general managers that I think is really fascinating. And it's just, Bob Myers would be cool to go on that show or something like that. But I just have a feeling because ESPN eyes everything, especially with as much money as they're going to be paying for inside the NBA. I just think they're going to try to get Screamin' A on there or somebody that's going to screw up the chemistry. And as we know, chemistry in any kind of a personal relationship, professional relationship, whatever the case may be, it just takes, you know, you add this, you subtract that. There are going to be already going to be subtracting Ernie Johnson, and he's a bigger part of that thing than you realize. I mean, the other three guys are the stars, but he allows it as a guy who's done that my entire career, in which I, you know, kind of point guard people around. It's harder than it looks. And EJ makes it really, really easy. So they're going to throw somebody else in there that's going to change the dynamic of things. And are they going to be like, look, I'll have my ego go in the back seat? Because ego going in the back seat and media people, it's not really the same thing. In fact, they're at odds a lot of times. And so when you see somebody who doesn't have the ego and will put others up on a pedestal so that the show is great, it's just about the show. It's not about me. It's about the show. And you're constantly having to remind yourself of that. Again, as somebody who did that for many, many years on many, many different shows, you just have to realize that it's about the show. And it's not about you. It's about the show. And you want to make sure that that's just kind of how it works. So as I see right there, Steve right away saying ESPN will screw it up. I hope not, because it's such a great show. But somehow dynamics change. You know, like when a singer leaves a band or somebody, and it's just there is that chemistry, and then they just quite weren't the same. So I hope that doesn't happen to inside the NBA, but we'll discuss it. How do you run inside the NBA, the Giants at the Yankees? Say whatever you want about it. Maybe you hate the Yankees. There's just something about going to New York. And by the way, we'll have bottom of the pint, Larry Kruger and I today around 4 o'clock. I haven't talked to Larry this morning, but around 4 o'clock, we'll do it. I think pregame starts at like 3:30. So 4 o'clock. And so I got to still run to the store. If you have a suggestion on an easy drinking beer, that's not a 9, you know, like an IPA, that's a 9, that's going to leave me on my face by the third inning. I'm still contemplating, because like I said, I got the citrus Corona beer, was made fun of so much so that it scared me away, and I will not buy that. So I'm not sure. Like, I'm not going to do Coors Light, Bud Light, but I'm not going to do an IPA. So if you have any suggestions of beers that I may have to chug but aren't a 9, you know, a 9 or a 10 in alcohol content, then I would like to know what you think of that. Pitching matchups, I really like them for the Giants. Marco Luciano hit a home run. So then I thought to myself, how's he doing? And I went, oh, not so good. We'll discuss that. Today's draft crush, I'm not going to do so much a draft crush as there's three names that I'm hearing, and they're at different parts of the draft. I'm going to throw three names up there for you as far as the 49ers draft, as we are now 13 days away from the NFL draft. And I got a few names for you of some buzz that I'm hearing. So I'll let you know. That random is always throughout the show. If you're new around here, it's just stuff that can throw me. I'll look at the chat line. It'll remind me something. I'll tell a story. I'll go off on a tangent. What I like to say is we're driving down the road. We're taking a long road trip. We take bathroom breaks. We take, you know, we got to grab some McDonald's along the way. Some are, you know, some are shorter, some are longer. I have an electric car, so maybe I have to go to a charger. Like, it just depends. Just depends. So anyway, that's what's happening today. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Enrique is here. Good to see you, my friend. Jake, good morning. Hurley Bird, Baba Booey. Skills, my pal, is here. Scott, good morning to you. Please like and subscribe. Please do that here. John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective, if you'd be so kind, and tell your friends and enemies. Enrique, good morning to you, my friend. Jazz fan, hello. Who else is here this morning? Joy. Hello, Joy. Very nice to see you. AJ Cruz 75 is here. Steve, as I mentioned, Chris is here. Who else is here this morning? Daniel. Oh, he wants to sell the Kings still. By the way, my wife is out of town. Like I told you, I might go up to Sacramento and see Chris Townsend, and the Mets are in town. And like I said, I love baseball this time of year. And I'm just like, oh my God, weather's supposed to be nice this weekend. I don't want to sit around the house. The dog's already getting sick of me. Dog is usually in our bedroom. I know you're going to make fun of me for this. He'll jump up on the bed. I really don't care about it. Last night, he follows my wife around, and he just slept on the couch. And then this morning, he looked at me like, where is she? I'm like, dude, I don't know. Like, she's in San Diego. She's not here. And he normally goes back to the bedroom, and at least if he doesn't sleep on the bed, which I know, then he'll sleep like on a dog bed or something like that. But this morning, I get up. he had not moved, and he's waiting for her to come home. And then when I walk back in the house, my studio's house adjacent, when I walk back into the house, he's laying literally up against the door and giving me this sad look like, hey, you're cool and all, and I'm glad that you feed me, but where is she? Like, when's she coming home? He lays right next to the door just waiting for her. And then he only moves, and our front room is to the right of the front door. And then he just moves over to the couch and jumps up there. And he's got a dog bed there too and never uses it. He uses it when she's home, but if she's not home, he's up on the couch and he'll be staring out the window, and he knows what her car looks like and everything. And he just looks like, where is she? Where is she? Where is she? And I've tried to tell him, look, dude, she's not coming home anytime soon. Like, you don't have to sleep by the door. You don't have to sleep on the couch. You don't have to lay by the door. Like, he's just looking at me like, you're just not that good. Not that good. So anyway, James, good morning to you. Just saw James jump into the room as well. Like I said, it's really cool that you're watching on X or Instagram or any of these different ways that you're watching, but it is really fun to go into the chat room. We have a great chat room. And if you're in the chat room just hanging out, there's no problem with that. But say hello to everybody. Say good morning to everybody. And that's very, very cool. All right, let's start at the top. So hopefully this is the last Warriors update. And I don't even think, let me check. I don't even know if I have the bracket that I always have up on my screen. I didn't even double check it today. I might have it, but I'm not sure that I do. You're getting sick of this just like I'm getting sick of this. Oh, I guess I do have it. Yeah, I did update it this morning. There you go. So the Grizzlies lose to the Timberwolves last night. They are 47-33. Say it with me. They've got the tiebreaker over the Grizzlies and the Timberwolves. That's why they're in the sixth position right now with only a few games left in the season. So there it is right there. The Warriors with 80, I should say a couple games left the season, 80. The Lakers, last time out, they beat Dallas. They're 49-31. The Rockets are the two. The Thunder are the one. You know that. The Nuggets, despite firing their coach, there they sit at 48-32. Nuggets have the tiebreaker over the Clippers. I just have a feeling it's going to come down to Sunday, but we shall see. The Clippers, by the way, have been hot. The Timberwolves have been hot. I think Anthony Edwards had like 44 last night and 7 threes. He looked really, really good. In watching the Grizzlies last night, or excuse me, the Timberwolves last night, it's another reason why I just don't want to play him in the play-in, because a guy like Anthony Edwards, like he did last night, I don't know if you watched the game on TNT, but he scores 44. It looked relatively easy for him to score the 44. Julius Randle was fairly solid. Mike Conley was fairly solid. I'm like, I'm not saying the Timberwolves are better than the Warriors, because they're not, but it's like, I just don't want to mess with that kind of stuff. So that's what's going on as far as the standings are concerned. Thank God. Can you say it with me? We're not going to be having to do these things after Monday. I just can't wait until it's done, and then we can actually talk about who they're playing, what's going on. I don't think they're going to drop into the play-in. Their fate is in their hands. That's what's great, and that's what Minnesota's win did last night. So essentially what you've got here is you beat Portland tonight, and nothing is a gimme, and this is on the road, and Portland played hard down the stretch. You got to give them credit. So Portland's better than San Antonio, and San Antonio just beat you at home, but knowing the way of the Warriors, they're actually going to focus in for this game, and then it just comes down to Sunday. Clippers have the tiebreaker over you at this particular point. Because of that loss against San Antonio, I just want them to stay out of the play-in. That's it. So if they have to be the six, you know, we had illusions of grandeur, and we thought maybe three? Nah. Maybe four? Nah. But if they could be in that 5-6 range, I'd love to avoid the Nuggets, but I've come to the realization that you can't avoid everybody for that long of a period of time, and plus, and I said this about the Grizzlies, so I've got to be consistent. When I looked at the Grizzlies firing their coach, I went, that team's a mess. I want to play them. And then I looked at Denver and I said, well, they fired their coach. They're not a mess. Well, there's something going on. And the speculation I've heard so far through a couple of phone calls and just what they're saying on TV is that, yeah, Mike Malone's demeanor rubbed people the wrong way. And I saw an interview with Jokic, I think it was yesterday, the day before. And he's like, yeah, I'm on board with whatever management does. And I was like, yeah, because they talked to you beforehand. So maybe a lighter hand on this team. I don't know. Mike Malone won a championship. We don't have to go over that because we just did. But I guess if I'm going to be consistent and say that in my mind, Memphis, their outlook changed to me, that they're having problems, that they're having to fire their coach with 10 games left in the season. And Denver, I thought to myself, well, that doesn't change anything for me. Well, there's got to be something there. And one of two things can obviously happen when you bring in a new coach. Either you get that energy, and usually that is short-lived, but we've seen a team that replaces a coach and then the players in their heads start to think, well, I don't want to be, you know, it was the coach's fault. Clearly, somehow they play harder. To me, the losing streak was as much about, okay, maybe there's some chemistry issues. Maybe Mike Malone has given them every rah-rah speech and every mean guy speech. And I told you that story before, that coaches just kind of have a shelf life, and they've given every speech, every win one for the Gipper, every I'm up your ass, every speech. And I could see Mike Malone giving his fiery demeanor, having given every speech in his book relatively early. So some guys can burn out in 10 years. Some guys can burn out in 5 years. And Mike Malone, given the way that he coaches, Tom Thibodeau is this way. I've said this about Harbaugh in football. There's just certain coaches who burn faster. The wick burns faster. And I think that's Mike Malone. That's what I've heard. That's what I think. Now, does that mean negative or positive for Denver? Because I just have a weird feeling that they're going to end up, even though right now it's Lakers, I have a weird feeling it's going to be Denver. I would much rather have it be Lakers than I would Denver, even with a new coach. I think that maybe just because it was so close to the end of the season, they might get a burst of energy out of this whole thing. But Denver, it's very, very simple. Jokic is going to do what Jokic is going to do. It's all the guys around him. So what is Michael Porter Jr. going to be? What is Aaron Gordon going to be? I don't expect much out of Russell Westbrook. It's the guys that helped them win a championship. Those are the guys. Is Jamal Murray, because over a number of playoffs over the last few years, Jamal Murray has been a playoff demon. So are you getting that guy in the playoffs? How banged up is he? He hasn't played in a lot of games. To me, if Jamal Murray is healthy, all this stuff we're hearing about Mike Malone doesn't matter, because they're probably winning more games and they're probably higher up in the standings and they probably don't fire Mike Malone. What do you care about that? Because I just think there's a magnet with the Nuggets. And when you and I reconvene on Monday, I just have a weird feeling that's who it's going to be, and that's who we're going to discuss. I could be wrong. Much rather have the Lakers, documented that many times. Anthony Davis is not around. Luka did score 45 the other night, spurred by being back in Dallas. There's no question about it. But for some weird reason, I think it's going to be Denver. By the way, I guess this is a good time to discuss this. I say this all the time, that personal appearances are not show fodder, but I was on with Damon Bruce a couple of weeks ago, or 10 days ago, or whatever it was. And who are we talking about? We were talking about somebody, and I said, Damon, because I had a piece of video or a picture or something, I said, are personal appearances show fodder? And he said, at this point, everything is show fodder. And I thought, you know what? That's a great point. And so everything is show fodder. And I don't know when this was taken. And I understand, you know, your hair gets thinner or whatever, and maybe you think something's there. I don't know why LeBron is doing this. Maybe this is just some sort of a what do they call it? The kicker for the Cardinals has this, some sort of a, I don't know, like a disorder or something, but it's like LeBron doesn't have any hair and he's sitting there brushing it. And to me, it just seems weird. I don't know. I laughed when I saw this. So here you go.
They did a good job. You know, you give credit where credit is due. You did a good job of the sports, the things that we have going on defensively.
You guys will be able to remove one element that's been working against you the last month as you turn.
Like, is that an OCD thing? Is that like an OCD thing where you just got it? Like, there's no hair. It's not moving. Like, it's not going anywhere. He has the weirdest hairline that I've ever seen. Like, sometimes it looks really full. I don't know if he uses a spray or whatever the case may be. But, and again, this is coming from a guy who's having not a bad hair day, but a bad hair life. But still, I'm like, that's got to be some sort of an OCD thing where he just feels like he's got to do that. Because the hair's not moving. And if you wanted to do it, all you'd have to do is, like, maybe you're, I don't know, something. But I mean, just take a towel and just like wipe your head off or something. Cause you're not, like, nothing's moving. There's no hair up there.
they did a good
job. OCD,
you know,
man.
You did credit. You did a good job of the sports, the things that you had going on.
That's just so weird to me. I don't know. Maybe that's not fair. Maybe that is not show fodder. I'm just sitting there going, dude, what are you brushing? Like, what are you doing? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe that just was not fair at all. Anyway, we needed a break. There's the Warriors update. Two left. Tonight, Portland. Sunday, the Clippers. So tomorrow, you and I will reconvene, and hopefully it's not to talk about like what we talked about against San Antonio, but hopefully it's a win over Portland, and then it just comes down to Sunday against the Clippers, and the Clippers have been playing some really good basketball, especially with Kawhi Leonard. That's not really a great team that I want to see. Charles Barkley did say on Inside the NBA, last night, he gave them the curse of Barkley, because he said behind Oklahoma City, that's the second best team in the West. And I just feel like when you have to differentiate, I talk about this all the time, you have to differentiate between an 82-game team and a 16-game team, a 16-sprint team. And Oklahoma City looks like an 82 to me. I could be wrong. Houston, to me, looks like a 16-sprint team. I think they could be a 16-sprint team. They have that kind of a team. The Lakers, to me, or more of a 16 than an 82. And I mean 16 in that you need 16 wins to win a championship. The Warriors absolutely are. The Clippers absolutely are. Because when you have an older team, you know, they cruise through the 82, or not cruise through, but they get through the 82. And they want to play for the 16. So, like with Harden and Kawhi, they don't want to play 82. They want to sprint for the 16. With the Warriors, they know they have to do certain things in the 82, but they want to sprint for the 16. That's just, they're better. That an older team, a veteran team, LeBron James, those kind of guys, they're built for the 16 sprint. They understand. They just want to get there in a certain position. And for me, can the Warriors, and that goes down to how deep of a run on the chalkboard. So how deep of a run could they make? A lot of it depends on matchups, clearly. I am more afraid, and I've said this time and time again, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. LeBron needs to go to Turkey. Sorry. That's where all those hair transplant ads are, right? LeBron needs to, where is it? Damn it. LeBron. Yeah, that's where all the hair transplant ads are. I mean, he can, look, those people, he's got enough money. They can come to him. So if LeBron's having hair problems, then obviously he's got enough money to fix whatever it is he needs to fix. I think he needs to go to one of those. What do? They make it look like it's hair, but it's just really super short, like almost like a military cut kind of thing. Because sometimes you'll see it. I swear he uses like kind of some kind of black spray, because some days I'll look at it and watch a game and LeBron will have this hairline that's straight across. It looks perfect. And then other days it'll have this patchy stuff like last night, like he forgot to put it on. Or maybe the sweat got to it or something. But doing the hairbrush, that's OCD, man. That's just OCD. Topics. No, it's not Topics. Topics is like a, believe me, as someone who knows, is like a powder or something like that. This thing is like not a surgery. I'm not going to say it's a surgery, but some people have it done. And then it looks like it's like you've got super short military cut, but your hairline is like good. Like some days it looks good like that. Anyway, long story short. But as far as how far they can go, because I was thinking about this morning, if they get Denver in the first round, I'm very pessimistic. If they get the Lakers in the first round, I feel really good. If they have to play in the play-in, it's not that I don't think they get the Timberwolves at home. All right, you beat the Timberwolves at home, you get the Rockets. Can they beat the Rockets? I've said this time and time again. I think at the end of the season, getting the Rockets, even though they didn't win, gives you kind of a sneak. What I mean by that is they get a sneak preview of the Rockets. So let's just say, and I don't think this is going to happen, I think they're going to be the 6. That means they're going to be the 7 or the 5 or anything but the 6. But I'm going to say they're going to be the 6, and we can talk about this on Monday, and we'll make fun of me because of it. But let's just say that you're an advocate of saying, well, how about they just drop to the 7? They beat the Timberwolves. They take on the Rockets. The advantage to that is they got a sneak peek of the Rockets. Now, they lost, and I understand that, and the Rockets played really well and all these kind of things, and they defended Steph in a physical manner. But what they did was, and they didn't need to win the game, and I was a little surprised that Houston, given the fact that they could play the Warriors in the playoffs, I'm surprised that Houston played everybody, but that's what young teams do. Young teams who have not proven something want to instill confidence in their players that they can go into a place like Golden State, into Chase Center, and win a game. That's what I'm saying about a 16 sprint versus an 82 game season. Because young teams, like Denver, when they won the championship, they were the top seed. Young teams who haven't won the championship want to prove to themselves that they can win everywhere and win so many games. And that's what Oklahoma City is going through. So Oklahoma City's, what are they, 66-14, whatever they are. So they're going to win 67, 68 games. They're going to be like, we're the best. That gives us a ton of confidence. We've won everywhere. That's fine. If they were to win the championship this year, Oklahoma City would do more resting, and next year maybe they'd win 58 or 56. They'd realize that, okay, we've instilled all the confidence we need. We don't have to go out and get 60-plus wins. That's where the Warriors are. That's where the Clippers are. That's where the Lakers are. Like teams like that, they know. It's about the 16 sprint. That's what I mean. So Oklahoma City is still in that place where they want to instill a lot of confidence in a very young team, and they're going to win 68 games. That's just how it is. Nowadays, the older teams go, look, if I win 50-something and I position myself fairly well for the playoffs, I'm okay. And right now, home court advantage matters. Like being the 3 where the Lakers are going to be and getting a home series matters a ton. Being the 4 in the 4-5 matchup, let's say that's Denver and the Warriors, just for the sake of conversation, that's massive. There's no doubt. The Warriors, I think, could win a championship from 4. Can they win a championship from 6 where they may have to go on the road for every single series? Now, the Rockets did that in, I think, 95 when they were a 6 seed. But if you're the 6 seed, you're playing the 3-6, you're the road team. You're probably playing the 2 seed next, you're the road team. You play the one seed, you're the road team. You play in the NBA Finals, you're the road team. Can the Warriors do that? Yeah, it's just really, really difficult. So if you're the four, you move all the way up to the four, which is highly, highly, highly unlikely. Then you get the 4-5, you at least get that at home. Then you get the one, or maybe somebody upsets the one, you'd get another home series. So yeah, it's a massive difference. But I think the Warriors walking into that, walking into a Houston, walking into an Oklahoma City. But let me just stay with Houston for a minute, not get too ADD on you. Seeing them and seeing the way that they defended Steph, that was important to them because they're a young basketball team. And they thought, you know what? We're going to go into this game. We're going to treat it like a playoff game. And we're going to instill confidence in our young team. And I know they have a Fred VanVleet who can tell the team, look, I've won here. I've won a championship against these guys. He knows damn well that the basketball gods took out Klay and took out Kevin Durant. But he can still say that. He can say, hey, look, I beat this team. But that doesn't mean anything to Amen Thompson. It doesn't mean anything to Jalen Green. It doesn't mean anything to Şengün or any, you know, these young guys. So I feel like the Rockets are still in that place, like Oklahoma City, where, okay, let's instill confidence. Let's go into Golden State, treat this like a playoff game. We win, and these guys know that they can walk into this arena and win. And that's all well and good, but the Warriors already know they can go to Houston and win. They already know they can beat Houston in the series. They just feel that way. So now they got an opportunity to see how Houston's going to defend Steph in the playoffs. They got an opportunity to see really the whole bag of tricks for the Rockets. So if they play them, they already kind of had a sneak peek. It's kind of like, you know, in boxing where the first couple of rounds, especially with heavyweights, really heavyweight boxing is like this. You're kind of feeling the opponent out. They got a free look at the Rockets, and the Rockets tried. If I was the Rockets, I would have said to my crew, look, we're good. We can walk in here and we can beat this team. I'm not going to show a potential first round opponent everything we got. We're not going to throw the physicality and everything at Steph Curry. We're just going to, you know, a couple of guys are going to sit out, those kind of things. I just think that was maybe a problem for the Rockets. Yeah, they got the win. Yeah, you feel great. They're going to be the two regardless. You don't want to slow the thing down too early. I understand that. But if they're in the six, that's one thing. I have a weird feeling it's going to be the Nuggets. If they're in the seven, which I don't think they will be, let's say they lose that game to the Clippers on Sunday, though, and the Clippers have been very, very good, then all of a sudden you're hitting the seven, potentially playing Minnesota. That scares the hell out of me because Anthony Edwards, as we saw last night, drops 44 and 7 threes, and you're going, that ain't good. But if you were to get out of that and then you'd play the Rockets, I'd feel pretty good based on the fact that I know this is weird, but they got beat, but they got a free look. So if they were to play the Rockets in that next round, then in the opposite end of the one, that would kind of be an interesting situation. And now you're on the 3-6 line, which could potentially be Lakers and maybe the Nuggets would be on the other end of the thing. So to me, I know this is a long answer to a short question. How far can they go in the playoffs? I think it's just dependent on being away, honestly, of Denver. I think they can beat the Lakers. I think the Lakers made themselves less of a playoff team without Anthony Davis and his size. I think they beat the Lakers in a series. Maybe it's seven games. I think they beat the Rockets in a series. I think the Rockets are really, really good in an 82-game team, but I think that showing the Warriors and playing really, really hard, I know that's weird to say, and giving them some sort of a blueprint of how you're going to defend Steph and do those kind of things, I think it's advantageous for the Warriors. I think they win that series. Who else? Oklahoma City would be very tough. I'm really interested to see what they do early in the playoffs, especially against a veteran team. The Lakers are going to be the three, so they'll be opposite them. If Denver is opposite them in the four hole, if the Clippers are opposite them in the four hole and they get a veteran team in the second round of the playoffs, I think that Oklahoma City is going to lose. And then now you're looking at, you know, so I think they can go really, really far. And if I'm being consistent, I think that Denver could have issues. I don't know what their internal issue is, but when you fire your coach with three games left in the season, it's a problem. And it could mean that you get more energy, or it could mean that you're just falling apart. I don't know. Bob Myers said yesterday, and I'm going to play this for you. In fact, let me play Bob Myers because we're going to move on from NBA in just a second. We're talking about inside the NBA. This is so good from Bob Myers. So ESPN, and I get it. And I like to use the term ESPNized because I worked there for many, many years, and I know what the meetings are like, and I know what it's like behind the scenes. And I know for a fact, they say, you take this side, you take that side. And they do so much research, and this is what we're going to do. And this is everything from, and I'm talking about ESPN Radio, TV, ESPN News, ESPN.com. Like, they have their hands on everything. And this is why I'm afraid about inside the NBA, which we'll get into in a second. Because this is the research. This is what we're talking about. This is what we got to do. Now, McAfee doesn't do that. He's basically got a show that is leased to ESPN. I hope that that's going to be the same case with inside the NBA and they don't try to throw their guys in. In other words, it's a separate entity. Like ESPN likes the advertising dollars, likes to make money off the McAfee show. But in terms of embracing it, they are constantly at odds. I know that for a fact. And guys like Adam Schefter go on the show and everything, but it's not a full embrace of ESPN. It's not a fully endorsed ESPN show. They like the money of it. They like the business aspect of it. But when Pat McAfee says, you know, are we going to do that car wash where we have all the ESPN guys on? No, they don't do that. They put on Schefter, but they treat Schefter a little bit differently than the rest. Everybody else on ESPN treats him like this god. If Adam Schefter says it, it must be true. Whereas McAfee and company, they just screw with them, and it's funny. And they just keep with kind of what they do. And so I hope inside the NBA is like that. Having said all those things now, so everything is ESPNized. It's all about opinion. It's all about throwing crazy ideas out there. It's all about lists. It's all about Mount Rushmore's. It's all about, and then you get a guy like Bob Myers, who I wouldn't mind being on inside the NBA a little bit. Although Bob's funny. It's not that. It's just kind of, he's dry in the way that he does things. I'm sure he could put up with the crap that they give each other. But if there was a guy that could be on that show and could add something from a front office perspective, because Shaq player, Kenny player, Charles player, and then you got the straight man. So they don't really have a front office type, but I could see them giving him a lot of grief. So that would be kind of be funny. But Bob Myers talks about the dynamic between the coach and the general manager, and I'd never heard it really explained this way. So let's take a listen, and then we'll talk about it.
Coaches have to win, right? And if you're not winning, you have to get along. You have to have a reason for ownership to keep you if you're not producing at a high level on the winning chart. So I think what happened here was when you combine the fact the team wasn't performing as ownership thought it should, and you got a GM and a coach, and by the way, those guys not getting along, because I did do that job, that relationship is built to fail. You have to work so hard to maintain a good camaraderie. Here's why. Coaches are day traders, and I don't say that condescendingly. They have to be day traders. They have to win games. Mm-hmm. GMs are value traders. They have to look further ahead. Sometimes those two things do not align. And how do you delicately have a conversation with your coach? And it's been written, I think it's true, Calvin wanted to play certain guys. Michael Malone wanted to play other guys. That happens all the time in the NBA. But here's the difference. How you have that conversation will allow you to preserve the relationship. If it's, hey, listen, I need you to play, you know, Peyton Watson a lot more than you're playing him. So you better start doing that. No coach likes that. Instead of, hey, listen, I see what you're doing. I know you're using Westbrook. Can we get a little
bit more? But isn't all of this, this is all with Jamal Murray having missed the last five games.
And that's where you have to be strong enough, Malika, to overcome. Every team has.
See, just, I don't know what you think of that, but those two, that's the most insight I've seen on any ESPN pre-half post-game show this entire season, maybe combined. And I don't know if you're watching Kendrick Perkins, but he's totally lost in this whole situation. Like, he's watching or listening, but he's kind of looking at the desk like, I have nothing to add here because there's tremendous insight. And unless ESPN basically tells me what side to take on a certain thing, I got nothing for you. So he's sitting there and Windhorst is sitting there and they just are, you know, just hot take machines. And I get it. That's the way that the media works nowadays. But they're kind of out on this conversation. Malika Andrews kind of pushes it along a little bit there at the end and says, but this is with Jamal Murray. But the one thing he said, that, and I've never heard it described like this, and I thought it was completely brilliant, was that coaches are day traders. They've got to win now, tonight. I got to win, I got to win, I got to win, I got to win. And then, by the way, Bob Myers, Skill says Bob Myers does not need to fly to Turkey. I mean, I agree 100%. I'm so jealous. And believe me, the hair is even that much better, even close up. Like, I can't tell you how many times I wanted to reach out and touch Bob's hair, because if God gave you a head of hair that was perfect, it would be him. Like, it's unbelievable. Like, I've seen him at practices and stuff like that. And even when it's kind of tussled around, like he's in sweats and it's kind of tussled around a little bit, it still looks good. Like, it might even look better like that. It's unbelievable. But anyway, I digress. But he said head coaches are day traders. So they need to win right now, every day. That's their focus, like win right now. And then he said general managers are I forgot the term that he used now, but they've got to look out for the long term of the organization. And he said at times it's like this. And so Denver, but here's the part that's interesting for Denver again: if they take on the Warriors, how will this front office slash coaching dynamic change things, if at all? But what's interesting to me is ownership basically said, All right, both of you are fighting, and apparently it sounds like it's over Westbrook, which is amazing to me. But Michael Malone wanted to go with veterans, and that's how a lot of coaches are. Steve Kerr, and I'll give Steve Kerr a lot of credit, as I was listening to Bob say this, to just kind of take a right turn on this whole thing is, you know, Steve Kerr over the last couple of years, and it's not mentioned a whole lot, has given reins to younger players and allowed them to play. He didn't with James Wiseman. It took him a long time with Jonathan Kuminga. I don't know if a guy like Steph Curry or Draymond Green or Jimmy Butler hasn't been here really long enough for it to apply to him, where he essentially said, and I said this yesterday, I said this 2 days ago, actually, and we saw it in the San Antonio game because Podziemski just scored 7 points. It's all well and good, and Steph Curry is going to do what he's going to do, and Draymond Green's going to do what he's going to do, and Jimmy Butler's going to do what he's going to do, say it with me. But if this team is going to go anywhere deep in the playoffs, anything meaningful, it's about the way that Podziemski has played lately outside of the San Antonio game. It's about Jonathan Kuminga finding his role and excelling in it, not every third night, every single night of the playoffs. It's about Moses Moody when a team is designing a way in the playoffs because they see you every single time for 7 games or however long it lasts, they are drilling down. So Moses Moody, you're going to get those open baseline threes. You're going to get those corner threes. You got to hit them. I'm not saying you got to hit him at a 60 or 70% rate, but you can't hit him at a 25% rate. You can't be Harrison Barnes when he was at the Warriors, not San Antonio Harris Barnes and just beat you the other night, where they were forced in, you know, the Kevin Durant situation happened, but it was like, this team has decided Harrison Barnes on a corner three is going to be the shot that they're going to give up, and Harrison Barnes couldn't hit him. That's what it came down to. And that's why he went off to Sacramento and Dallas and San Antonio, and he's kind of bounced around his – he hit a nice shot the other night, but he wasn't doing it consistently enough. That's what we talked about it with Andrew Wiggins. When Wiggins was two-way Wiggs in 2022, he was hitting those shots. That's what Moody's going to have to do, and Kuminga's going to have to do, and Podziemski's going to have to do. Those three, we know what they're going to do. But come playoff time, it's going to be about those other guys. So I don't know if Steve Kerr had a revelation or it was the front office coming together. But what Bob Meyer said right there is Steve Kerr has a certain way he wants to coach. And he's earned it. He's got belts on the wall. So he should be able to tell the front office, hey, man, these are the guys we're going with. But the front office has an input. And when you have an owner like Joe Lacob, and I'm sure Denver, that's the same kind of a thing, they're involved in everything. So when they see Russell Westbrook throw brick after brick after brick, and he doesn't fit with Denver, he doesn't. Because Nikola Jokic is sitting there kicking these passes off, and you got the most wide open shot in the world. Shot created must be taken. He takes the shot. It bricks. And after a while, ownership becomes like a fan. And they're just like, why do I have to watch this time and time again? And then they go to management and they say, why is Westbrook ruining our season? And they say, well, you know what? He just doesn't have, and Denver does not have a deep bench. He doesn't have a lot of confidence in the young guys coming off the bench. And therefore management says, well, Calvin Booth, GM, you didn't get it taken care of when I asked you to get it taken care of. He's not playing the right guys in my mind. You're both out. And so beyond that, and I don't mean to go on another Denver tangent, what I'm saying is that at some point it flipped for Steve Kerr. And maybe it's just James Wiseman wasn't good enough or whom, whatever the case may be, but it was always a charge against Steve that he wasn't developing the younger players. You can't say that anymore because Podziemski has obviously developed, rough start to the season, but he's developed. Moses Moody has figured out his role. Jonathan Kuminga, hopefully before playoff time, can kind of figure out where he fits in the puzzle. But these are all young pieces, and it's not Curry, Butler, and Green who will determine how far the Warriors go. Because as we always talk about here on the show, say it with me, they're in the bank. I know what they're going to do. For the most part, I know what they're going to do. I know Steph had a 1-for-10 against the Rockets. That's highly unusual. And come playoff time, I'll make you a bet right now, that ain't happening. So now it comes down to the three guys. Those three young guys that I just talked about, and Steve Kerr knows it. And Denver's probably thinking the same thing. That's why those guys got fired is, and part of, hey, Mike Malone is kind of losing the locker room a little bit here. He's given every fire and brimstone speech that he has, but you know what? Management, not just management, ownership wants to see some of these younger players. They want to see what the opportunity could be, and he's not playing them. Therefore he's got to go. And if the general manager is backing the head coach, which apparently he was, then they're both going. So again, to bring it back to Steve, maybe it's Steve, maybe it's front office. I understand if you're an owner, you got to let your people, no matter what sport it is that you're running of your team, you've got to make sure that it's about allowing those guys to do their job. But at some point, especially in basketball, hey, I'm watching the Warriors develop young players. I'm watching an Austin Reeves be the X factor for the Lakers. I'm watching a young team in Oklahoma City, watching a young team in the Rockets, watching, you know, and you start looking, and I think you overvalue yourself. I think in Denver's case, they won a championship. They were never going to be a team that was going to be, you know, winning 4 and 5 and being the Warriors or being the Spurs or having that long, long run. They just don't have a deep enough bench. They got hot in the playoffs. They won. They deserved to win. They had a great regular season, but I looked at Denver. I mean, the minute that there was confetti falling on the court in Denver, I thought they're one and done, because that's what we do, right? Oh, you won a championship. Can you do it again? You won a championship. Woohoo. Can you do it again? No. Did somebody say I needed to get a hat rack back there? I know. Look at that mess. I usually have those in a better space, all those hats back there. I usually do. Well, you know, like when all of a sudden you just start throwing stuff and then I look back there now and I forgot. I was going to fix that. That looks horrendous. That looks really horrible. I just got it. They work usually on that thing, and I'm not going to turn around and fix it now, but yeah, it looks terrible. It looks absolutely terrible. by the way, some new people in the house today, J49 Antonio, it is great to see you, my friend. Did I say good morning to Rockin' New Era? It is great to see you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Daniel up in Sacramento. I might come up there again. Like I said, I hate sitting around. I get bored, and I do have a honey-do list that I got to get done, but I thought, you know what? Go see the Mets and the A's over the weekend. Who knows? I might not do that, but I don't know. Got to do something, man. Yeah, that's it. Dom said that. I got to get a hat rack. Yeah, I got to. I just got to organize them better. Most days I haven't organized fairly well. Today it's just an absolute horrible, horrible stuff. but hat set was still better than my hand hanging out a broken lamp. Yeah, I got to fix it. Yeah, that's because I in my closet back in my room too. I have like 50 other hats, and they're just on a shelf. And so I bring them in and out of here. I'll wear them all, you know, whatever. So yeah, I got to fix it. Hi, Joshua. It's good to see you, man. All right, let's. So here's what we've done. Episode 112. Warriors update. 2 games left. Last night, Minnesota and Memphis was the big game. Anthony Edwards goes crazy, which makes me get even more nervous about Minnesota. I do not want to see them in a playoff one off or something like that. How deep of a run? I just told you, I think they can beat everybody in the Western Conference. Denver, I still get nervous about, but they fired their coach, so there must be something there. Inside the NBA, just really, really quickly, I've kind of danced around this a little bit on the show today. So they're going to do a document. I'll pop it up here, just make it a lot easier on us. For this whole thing, they're going to do a doc on it. So Awful Announcing, which is, the guys do a great job there. TNT is going to air Inside the NBA documentary before the transition to ESPN. So I've mentioned this a little bit during the show today. So I'll just finish off, and then we can move to the Giants talk. They're in New York, take on the Yankees today. Is I just no Stephen A. Like it's got to be in the contract. No Stephen A. No Kendrick Perkins. I know that ESPN is dying to put Kendrick Perkins on with Charles Barkley because they have a rivalry. And if I'm Charles Barkley, part of my contract is this is the show. Kenny, Shaq, me, and then they've got to approve whomever the host is. Because like I said, it sounds so easy to do this. You just play point guard, bro. And not Steph Curry point guard, not Allen Iverson point guard, John Stockton point guard, where it's like you're not shooting a lot. You might average 10 or 11 points a game, but you're going to be like the all-time assist leader is what you're going to be. We've got guys here can finish. Shaq can finish. Charles can finish. Kenny can finish. We don't need anybody else. So just this is what we got, all right? I don't need Kendrick Perkins because I don't need – they've already got enough clicks. They're already funny enough. They're already going viral with the things that they say, and they don't even mean to do it. They don't have – Shaq and Charles and Kenny are real. That's why it works. Because they're really saying what they believe. And a lot of times with Charles Barkley, it's just pure jackassery, but it works. They don't need something preconceived. They don't need a producer to go in there and say, Charles, you say this. Kenny, you say that. Shaq, you say this. That's why it works, because it's happening live on the air. And how they feel about each other, when they say they want to punch each other in the face, it's real. Or when they eat something, or when they tell a joke, or when they have some bits that are pre-done, but it's nothing about opinions. You can tell on that show that they just say, guys, let's not talk about it before. And again, I've done this a lot in TV and radio. And a lot of times there are certain people, and this is how it works. I've always been a person that I don't want to talk about the show in the hallway. What that means is I don't want to go over it. And I don't want to, you say this and I'll say that. And here's my thought. And here's what I'm going to tell you.
and then you're going to say this and you're going to say that. ESPN does a lot of that. In their pre-production meetings, everybody kind of has a, this is what you're going to do. This is what we're going to say. These are the topics. I've been in a million of those, whether it be ESPN radio or TV or whatever. They do all these things in which it's almost like a movie and there's a script. TNT is not like that. Inside the NBA is not like that. They don't talk about it in the hallway. They don't. They might mention a certain game. They might, you know, Charles may say something in the green room or whatever, but it's not. They're just, they turn the cameras on and they go. And that's just why it works so well. That's why everybody's into it. Whereas at ESPN, it's Stephen A is going to say this, and your opinion, Kendrick, is that. And that's, they have these meetings, and it's like a script of a movie. And in Inside the NBA, it's not like that. So if ESPN throws a producer on there that's used to everything being ESPNized, that show's going to be ESPNized, and it's not going to be around very long, because that's not how Charles Barkley especially works, and nor is it Shaq, and really nor is it Kenny. They just, those two guys especially, though, Shaq and Charles, it's just off the hip. And that's why sometimes they say stuff where you go, what are you talking about? But that's what makes it funny, because you watch that show and you go, I have no idea what's going to happen. I have no idea what they're going to say. I have no idea. They don't know either. And that's part of the greatness of it. And that's kind of how I do things. Like you can tell, I mean, I do a lot of video and I get a lot of stuff and it's things I want to talk about, but really a lot of times it's wherever it takes you. And that's the best shows. Greg and I would text each other a couple of things. Papa and I, we would text each other a couple of things as ideas, but I didn't know what his opinion was going to be. And I never made up an opinion. Oh, Greg's going this way, I got to go that way. If I agreed with him, I agreed with him. I didn't. It was just, I think I told you this before. One of the first things I ever did, I was in college, and one of the guys that I did an interview with, a sports radio guy, and he was a veteran guy, and it was one of the best pieces of advice I ever got. And so you pick and choose things from certain people that you respect. You do the same thing in your job. You know, you watch and you see, and you can learn as much from people who don't know what the hell they're doing as you can from people who really know what they're doing. But one piece of advice stuck with me. He said, you're on the air far too long, far too many hours in a day to not be who you are, because eventually it's going to show. So there's too many guys on ESPN that just, that's not who they are. And then they're on the air and they're told what to say and everything else. Charles and Shaq and Inside the NBA is real. And so I just hope that they don't have a producer that tries to ESPNize it and say, you say this and you do that, because they're not going to do that, number one, and they're going to be at odds. And that's why, same thing with Pat McAfee, just that show just comes out and whatever it is, it is. And it's not preconceived. It's not pre-done. Now they've got topics just like I have topics, but the way they're going to go, I don't know. But as I watched and they were paying tribute and doing all those kind of things, at first I thought to myself, well, the show's not going anywhere. I mean, it is, but it's not, they still have the show. It's not dying. But as I thought more about it, I thought, you know what? The producers, and you might think this is really easy, the producers of Inside the NBA realized early on, let's not overproduce this show. It's not out of laziness. It's just, we're going to react to the way that they react, and that's how we're going to produce the show. We're going to lay it in front of them. They're going to pick and choose what they want to do, and let's just leave it alone. Too many people have too many egos, and so you have producers who want to put their hands on it. ESPN's got a certain way that they do their talk shows, so they want to make sure that, you know, this is what you talk about, because like I said, they have oodles and oodles and oodles of research that they send through your email constantly every day. This is what you should be talking about. 45% of people think this. All those shows in the morning, all pre-done. All because of research. All, like everything Mike Greenberg does is research-related. Everything that they do on their hot talk shows, research-related, all of that stuff is, this is what you should be talking about. And if you don't talk about it that way, then you're going to get a phone call. When I was working in Dallas, that's how it was. Those guys, that was the beginning of streaming. It was in the early 2000s, and a lot of times, and we were owned by ESPN. We weren't just an affiliate. We were actually owned by ESPN, what they call an O&O, an owned and operated radio station in Dallas. It's no longer the case, but we were 103.3 FM in Dallas, and we were owned by ESPN, a handful of stations, LA, New York, some of the big markets were owned by ESPN. And what they would do is, they didn't used to be able to hear us, and so we would do all sorts of stuff and do what we wanted and everything. But then what happened was some regional offices for ESPN were moved into our building. And therefore, they heard us every single day. And then those people in Dallas would complain, and they would tell Bristol, hey, listen. And this was, like I said, the streaming isn't prevalent like it was today. And then they would tune in and they would say, well, Lund, didn't you get the research packets today? You're supposed to be talking about this, this, and this. And I was like, well, we're in Dallas, and that's different. a different market than the East Coast. So I thought we could talk about this, this, and this. And they were like, eh. And so what I'm saying is Charles Barkley is a much bigger name and they know what they're doing. And obviously they're going to, you know, they've been successful in the way that they've done it. So I just hope they don't assign some ESPNized producer. I hope that in the contract of Barkley and Smith and Shaq, that it's in there that they have to approve all personnel changes. You know, certain people can come in here, certain people cannot. We're not having Kendrick Perkins. I don't care about the fireworks. We don't need them. We don't need pyrotechnics from Kendrick Perkins. We don't need him from Stephen A. Smith, even though ESPN, the powers that be at ESPN, I'm rubbing my face because they're salivating. They're salivated at thinking the type of fireworks that can be shown if Screamin' A is on one end and Charles is on another. The problem's going to be Charles is just going to be honest and just go, you're a jackass. I mean, that's just the way it is. Because you're talking more loudly and faster and in a way that makes you seem like you are credible does not mean you are. I mean, they'll just flat call him out. Now, maybe that's going to be great. Maybe it's going to be bad. Personally speaking, the show's already successful. And we've seen this in every walk of life. Just a tiny, tiny change and up, everything's gone. The chemistry's gone. I don't know how to explain it, but if one of those guys is on the set, chemistry's going to be gone because they don't do things the same. I did that a lot longer than I thought. I thought we were going to be quick on Inside the NBA talk, but we're not. All right, so there you go. That is the Inside the NBA talk from a person who has seen it firsthand. I can just tell you, I'm very skeptical that they're going to keep it the way that it's been that way, but we'll see. Yeah, look, they're owned by Disney. You're 100% right. And Disney will plug their trash to all. We'll see. We'll see how it works out. I hope that I'm 100% wrong. I really do. But I know the business. I know ESPN. I think that they are so good at certain things that they do. I'm not a big fan of the way that they've done things, but obviously they get ratings. It's just, this is such a good show that I'm going to take it personally if they screw it up and I can see them doing it. That's all. Hi, Fozzie. If you take off here on YouTube and become super famous, don't sell out for ESPN. Like, everybody's going to sell out. Just depends on how much money you're going to sell out for. But the difference is Shaq has all these different businesses. He's worth a gazillion dollars. I don't think Kenny Smith is hurting. And I know Charles Barkley isn't, even though he's got some betting issues. I think he's fine. I think all those guys are fine. And I think that's the major issue here is you only sell out if they throw so much money in front of you that you go, oh, well. And I just, for some reason, I don't think Charles Barkley, for one, is he just wants to do it his way. I mean, remember, and I never thought this was the case. Remember when Charles was saying he was going to retire? Nobody believed that Charles Barkley was going to retire. But I think Charles Barkley would retire rather than do a show that ESPN wants him to do. So there you go. I hope they keep him separate. Hi, Anthony. I hope they're going to keep him separate. ESPN can do their whole dog and pony show. And with Screamin' A on one side and Kendrick Perkins on the other and all that kind of stuff. And I think Malika Andrews is extremely talented. And sometimes you look at her and she thinks to herself, I got to believe, how is this happening to me? And then you see a thing, and this tangent all goes with Bob Myers. You see Bob Myers say something extremely brilliant. And probably the people behind the scenes are like, okay, that was fine with Bob Myers. Let's get it next. Coming up, Kendrick Perkins, top five list of, you know, whatever, playoff bombs, you know, whatever. That's going to be next. And it's like, God, Bob Myers just gave you this piece of gold, this insight between the dynamic of coaches, GMs, why it works, sometimes why it doesn't. And then we're going to come back with some kind of Kendrick Perkins, Mount Rushmore of, you know, underachieving whatevers. And you're like, anyway, sorry, I went far too long on that tangent. I just hope they don't screw it up. I guess I could have said this very succinctly and quickly. I hope they don't screw it up. I have a feeling they will. I hope they don't. All right, Giants at Yankees, and I got a bunch of good stuff from Giants at Yankees today. Let me see what I have from. Oh, that's going to be in the caboose pistol. All right, let's start here. Let me see what I've got to show you as far as that goes. Let me just see Inside the NBA. Oh, here's what I like. All right, let's start here. Giants at Yankees. First of all, I've never been a Yankees fan. I'm a West Coast guy my whole life. People think that the sun sets and rises and all that kind of stuff. Everything's New York. All sports are New York, New York, New York, New York, New York. Having said that, West Coast guy, I have West Coast bias. They have East Coast bias. It does mean something for some reason when you're in New York against the Yankees. So there are series where you go, there's 162 of these. This isn't a big series. I don't know why I think it's a big series. For some reason, and I'm a person, I don't need the national media to be talking about my team. In fact, I'd rather they didn't. But there are some series, no matter how well the Yankees are playing, and they're playing good, not great, but there are certain series that you circle and just go, okay, here's a litmus test. And the Yankees, even though they don't have Gerrit Cole and all this kind of stuff, they're a litmus test. I mean, they just always are. And so I go in there and I hope they can take two or three. They just lost their first season series to the Reds. And I love the pitching matchup. So this is what we've got on hand. So Robbie Ray, who first start, gets the first 15 and then falls apart, but he's better than Marcus Stroman at this point in his career. Jordan Hicks, you know my feelings on him, but he's off to a solid start, as he often is. So at this point of the season versus Will Warren, that's advantage Giants. And then Logan Webb against the former Giant, Carlos Rodon, who first year was an absolute bomb. Last year was okay. This year, off to a little bit slower of a start. But Logan Webb against Carlos Rodon, and of course, that's a lefty matchup, so they'll adjust the lineup accordingly. But to me, that's three advantages for the Giants. Does that mean they're going to win all three games? No. But Robbie Ray has been incredibly encouraging through his first two starts, save that blow-up that he had after he retired the first 15 in his first outing, but he was great in his last outing. Marcus Stroman has had success in his career. There's no doubt about it. But at this point, Ray is better. Jordan Hicks, like I said, I'd love him in the seventh inning, but he's in the rotation. I understand why. And especially with Justin Verlander getting off to a slow start, Jordan Hicks, that's a matchup that should be an advantage for the Orange and Black. And then you get Logan Webb, and he could pitch great like he did last time. And then a guy like Hunter Greene can beat him. So we'll see as far as Carlos Rodon. But there are three matchups that favor the Yankees. If their bullpen can hold up the way that they normally hold up, that is advantage to the Giants. And then they play the Phillies after that. And the Phillies is more important of a series, because are the Phillies going to win the NL East? They're the best team in the NL East. But are you going to be battling with them in a wild card? It's possible. Atlanta's off to an incredibly slow start, but it's only 10, 11 games into the season, so I'm not going to panic on that. But these are two litmus test series back-to-back. The Yankees are always a litmus test. No matter how good they are, it's just you go into Yankee Stadium, it's just the way it is. And it always sticks in my brain that last year when they started the season there, what they have, 16, I think it was 16 strikeouts, something like that, 15, 16 strikeouts, the first game of the year last year. And it was Gerrit Cole who was on the mound, so that's a little bit different. But I don't know, just going to New York has that thing about it. And so the next two series are really big. Nothing against the Reds, who they've already played in a couple of series, or any of the other teams that they've played so far. It's just, it's the Yankees. And I know it's the American League, and maybe it's not quite as important as they, you know, as sometimes. But the Phillies is a big series, and the Yankees just, that's just what we do. We're going to watch, and we're going to say, okay, there's a bit of a litmus test there. So I'm excited about the series this weekend. I still might go up and see the Mets and the A's, just because I'm kind of jonesing to see live baseball. So we'll see. But that's a big series to me, to as we continue to try to evaluate whether the Giants are real or not. And to me, it takes, in any professional sport, any sport period, it's about 25%. So the 40-game mark is going to tell you something about a team, because generally, and I showed you the standings yesterday, it's funny, we're only 10, 12 games in, and you can see the teams that stink, like the Rockies at the bottom, and you can see teams like the Padres, who are really good, and the Dodgers are really good. Those teams deserve the benefit of the doubt. Are the Giants going to be one of those teams that you look at and you say, okay, they are going to be good? I can't tell until there's about 40 games in the season, but I'm always excited to see a Yankee series because I like to stick it to them. Because the Yankees are like, whatever, the Giants. And it's like, well, they have a pretty good tradition. Yeah, they're not the Yankees, though. All right, whatever. How many times did I have to hear, oh, but Aaron Rodgers went back to the Yankees, the power of the pinstripes. Whatever. I hope they sweep them. Bottom of the pint, on the chalkboard there, in the middle bottom of the pint, that just means that Larry Kruger and I, 4 o'clock today, and I do have to run out and get beer, like I said. What should I drink today on the show? I am not going to do the citrus Corona. So what is a beer that you enjoy if you're sitting around the house and you don't want to drink an IPA that's like a 10, you know, I don't need to get hammered. Because what I like to do is I like to sip on them throughout the game. And I'm going to do the same kind of setup that I did on opening day. I'm going to bring in some hot dogs. I'm going to bring in, I know I shouldn't eat any of that stuff, but I'm going to bring in peanuts, the whole nine yards. And so what that tends to make me do is that I think I'm in a baseball game. And therefore, what I do is I'll just sip on them. Where Larry just kind of chugs when he has to chug, I kind of sip, sip, chug, sip, sip, chug. So I don't want it to be like a, you know, a 10 alcohol content. I don't know if I'm going to do Guinness. See, that's just that. I'm going to keep it on one, and I can't chug a Guinness. So it's got to be able to be a drinkable beer that's not going to put me on my face by the third inning, but that I can chug when I'm going to do that today. No wine coolers. That was not a wine cooler. That beer was not a wine cooler. It was not. I'm not going to be doing shots this early. I'll be in my face. I love shots, by the way. I love whiskey. I'm a big bourbon guy. Like I told you, I'm a big bourbon guy. I'm not a huge beer guy, but I'll do it for the people. I'll do it for the people. Hard seltzers. I don't, you know what, to be honest with you, I don't mind seltzers. Occasionally in the summertime, I really like them. My problem is, and you maybe call me an alcoholic because of this, I like to put vodka in my vodka seltzers. I don't know. That's just me. Modelo's not a bad call, by the way, rockin'. Modelo is not bad. Modelo, in fact, is great. The problem is I like the dark Modelo, Negro Modelo, and that's not conducive to like chugging a bunch of beers. But if I'm at a, let's put it this way, I'm a huge Mexican food fan, and I don't know why it's like this. I don't drink a lot of Mexican beers, but when I'm at a Mexican restaurant, that's all I order. Like I won't order, I'm not a Budweiser person, but I won't order, you know, some sort of a domestic. It's always like a Modelo or a Corona or a, I don't know what it is, why they taste better. So I might go Coors Light. That's not bad. You know, it's funny. People make fun of Coors Light. I've talked to Tolbert about this. If he's out like on a golf course, he'll drink Coors Light. And he's a big IPA guy. But like I said, I'm not going to be drinking IPA. So anyway, can never go wrong with Modelo's. Yeah, I mean, that's, I think that's fair. That might be the best. That might be my go-to right now. I might do that today. Yeah, like I said, I could do a Corona. I like Coronas. I do. I like regular Coronas. I really do. And that's why I bought the Citrus Corona. I thought it would be something. And it actually is a decent beer. Do they still make Löwenbräu? I don't think they make Löwenbräu. I think you're just saying that. I don't think they do it at all. I could be wrong. I love this, man. We can talk about things all day long. God, I haven't seen Moosehead. Kenny Smith just said Moosehead. My God, I don't think I've seen Moosehead in like 20 years. Unbelievable. And I guess the thing I would say is I just don't want to be hungover. I'm not buying cheap beer. I'm not buying cheap beer at all. Let's see what else. All right. Yeah. I mean, I could search for a 4.0, IPA. There's no doubt. Let's see. Yeah, they do make a high percentage alcohol. Some of the seltzers are pretty high. Now I'm not going to do Old English, but that's a good suggestion. Old English 800 OG drink. Dude, Old English 800 tastes like furniture polish or something, man. Amstel Light's a good beer, underrated. I think I have some Amstel Light actually in my outdoor fridge. Like I said, I've got about 20 different beers in there. And I do think I do. I have some Amstel Lights and some other stuff in there as well. So anyway, all right. I don't drink, but I'll be all right. Very good. The 420. Very cool. Yeah. Look, I respect everybody, man. Make your decision. That's not a bad one. The Italian beers make an appearance today. Not bad. All right. Let's see what else. Bottom of the pint, 4 o'clock today. Make sure you tune in to Krug and I, and we do a live broadcast during the game. We'll have a lot of fun with that. Pitching matchups. I showed you Luciano, man. I don't know what to make of this dude. So let me play this for you last night. I need to get a minor league person on. Melissa Lockhart does a really good job. There's a number of people. And when we used to do this on KNBR, people loved it. We would get during the broadcast itself, it would get a decent number, but then on the podcast, we would post the podcast and people love talking about a prospect. They just love it because it just means that there's hope for the future. Everybody loves talking about baseball prospects, top 30 prospects, this and that. So I got to get somebody on to talk about that. So I'm looking through things to talk about and I see this Luciano home run. This is in Tacoma. This is not at home. This is in Tacoma against the Rainiers, which, by the way, 16-ounce pounder Rainiers. I used to drink those in college. Super cheap. You could get a 12-pack of what they would call Rainier Pounder. So it was a 16-ounce bottle. You get 12 of those for like $6.99, I think, back in the day for 16 ounces. Anyway, I digress. I think it's against the Rainiers. This might be the worst home run call I've ever heard in my life, but don't concentrate on that. Here's Marco Luciano last night in Tacoma.
And an RBI for Luciano today. The 0-1 swing, and he drives this one deep into left center field, heading towards the light tower, and that one is long gone. A solo blast for Marco Luciano. He sends one deep into the night sky.
Thanks. He shuts one deep into the night sky, Marco Luciano. Anyway, so that's the home run. And so I thought to myself, geez, how's Luciano playing? You know, because remember last year, and I comped it right when he got sent down to Elliot Ramos. And the Giants had some early season injuries. And we kept seeing Ramos hit and Ramos hit and Ramos hit. And at some point it was like, look, man, I know this guy may be a failed first round pick, but you got to give him a shot. He was sent out early in camp and we didn't really think about him. And then he comes up and he tears the cover off the ball. And so I thought, could Luciano be that? And so I see that home run last night. I know that he hit one. It wasn't the first game of the year. It was the second game of the year or something. I'm thinking to myself, I really haven't kept up on him. So what's going on with Marco Luciano? And then I look it up and I'm like, woof. Now look, this is only 46 at bats. I understand that. Hitting 174. I've seen both of his home runs. The one last night, the one, it was either first or second game of the year. 8 RBIs. He does have 8 steals, by the way. But an OPS, obviously, of 595, which isn't good. Career-wise, minor league baseball stats, 254. And an 810 OPS, so just above average on OPS. Average probably is in the 730s, low 730s. But so he's above average in OPS, but he is off to a rough start. And I don't know if a lot of it for a player in professional sports, it just comes down to confidence. So I don't know how much confidence he's playing with. They've jacked him around. He's playing different positions. Maybe he doesn't feel comfortable. I have no idea. But he's still only 23 years old. It's just 46 at-bats. I understand that. You know, Willie Adames is off to a slow start. I'm not worried in the slightest about Willie Adames. I think he's going to have these numbers he's going to have. If Chapman's off to a slow start, he's going to have the numbers he's going to have. So there's certain guys that, look, they've got it built up in the closet. They've got credibility. They've got equity. So I'm not going to panic on these guys. But I just thought, you know, that was a nice-looking home run. I've seen him hit a couple of home runs. I wonder if he's off to a good start. 174. Only 46 at-bats, but 174. And then this guy, Jeff Young, always puts the minor league stats up, so I like it because I can look. That was just last night. That I saw that before I looked at the stats too. So I see the home run, and then like two posts later, I see that Luciano's 3 for 5, the home run, 2 RBIs, 2 walks, and I'm thinking he might be off to a really good start. And then I saw 174, and I'm like, oof. So anyway, I'll keep you up to date on what's going on with him. But because here's the thing, there's going to be injuries, A, and B, there's two players on the Giants right now, and I don't give them the benefit of the doubt, and that is your leadoff hitter is hitting 105 with like a 146 on base percentage, that being one Lamont Wade Jr., and he's not going to play on Sunday because you got a lefty matchup in there, so maybe that's going to be Casey Schmidt, but they could use a first baseman. Now, I know you're screaming Bryce Eldridge. I'm not going to bring him up until he's really ready. Defensively, he has some woes too. I know he's the future. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, if you're looking for a position for Luciano, I was thinking maybe he's off to a hot start. Could he play first base? Because Casey Schmidt was a third baseman, then he was a shortstop, then they used him a little bit at second, now he's at first, and I'm thinking, well, maybe that's where Luciano plays, but that's not where they're playing him. They're playing him in the outfield to see if he can find a spot there, but they could use a first baseman both short and long-term, and I know that everybody's saying it's going to be Eldridge, we'll see. And then Tyler Fitzgerald at second base. He had a couple of hits, that was nice, but there's a couple of guys who play middle infield, and if they're off the hot starts too, I'm not going to give Tyler Fitzgerald the benefit of the doubt. I said yesterday I'd give him 100 at-bats, so we'll see on that. So there is the update on Marco Luciano. There's the Giants at the Yankees, bottom of the pint today at about 4 o'clock. I already gave you the pitching matchups and Marco Luciano, so there's that. Let me, before I go out to some Niner stuff, let me hit the chat line and make sure. Is there anything else? Is there anything else other than beers that we need to hit there? Pliny's a great beer. I just don't know that I'm going to do it. What's Pliny? I'm going to go. Is Pliny like 7%? Country Club. Look at you. Oh, my goodness. I got a great story for you, John Joseph. So get this. Country Club is a malt liquor, and it's like, in a, if I remember right, it's like a white can, and it has like a horseshoe on it, or at least it used to. So get this. I was in college, and like I said, I went to Utah State University, which is in Logan, Utah. It's about an hour and a half north of Salt Lake City, and it's on the border of Utah and Idaho. So when I was going to school, you could buy booze at 18. The of age drinking age was 18 in Idaho, and it was only 8 miles away. So you could go 8 miles, go get the 8 miles, put a bunch of stuff in your car. They, for some reason, Utah didn't have a highway patrolman sitting there because you're bringing booze back in. And so anyway, I was in a fraternity, and everybody pitched in one time for a party that we were going to have on a Friday night. And I was the, I was the social chairman for our fraternity. And so we would sit there on a Monday, we'd have this Monday meeting, and we would always have a shortfall of money. And they're like, well, what do we want to do? Or we would want to buy something for, you know, hey, we need a new big giant TV for the front room or something like that. So what are we going to do this weekend? And some, you know, some young guy would go, we can have a car wash. It was like, no, no car wash. I don't want to spend a Saturday doing a car wash. So we'd go over all these different things. And finally, I would raise my hand because this is just inevitably what it would always end up being. And I'd say, why don't we just have a party? Because we had a giant party room and everything in there, and we'd make a ton of money. We'd charge guys like $5. And we charge women nothing. Girls would get in free. Guys would cost $5. Plus, statute of limitations is up. We'd have tons of beers, and we would set up. And I told you about the bar that I set up in my house my senior year. But we would get tons of beer, cheap beer, and we would sell beer. We would sell, you know, basic drinks and everything like that, and we'd make a boatload of money. So if we did a car wash on a Saturday for a fraternity, it might make $500. If we had a party at $5 a head for guys, and we'd sell booze out of the place, mostly beer, and we'd sell the beers for like, I don't know, $3 a piece. This is back in the day. We'd sell them for like $3 a piece. We'd make thousands. I mean, we make $2,500 easy. So it's like $500 for a car wash, or we all party and we make $2,500. And so at the end, after everybody was screwing around going, this is what we could do, this is what we could do, this is what we could do, I just raise up my hand and go, let's just have a party. What are we, being stupid? And so what would happen is, amongst Fraternity Row, you would go to the other social chairman and say, are you having a party Saturday night? And they're like, no. All right, fine, we will. And so we would you know, because you want to make sure if there was already two parties planned, you wouldn't have a party, but you'd be like, okay, 2 weeks, we'll do a party. We'll make a bunch of money. So long story short, with your country club thought, let me just pop that back up there because some people may have forgotten what I'm talking about. So there was a malt liquor called Country Club. And I remember one time crossing over, and they had a special on Country Club. And like I said, it was back in the day because they just didn't used to brew beers like this. Like if you could find like an 8%, because in Utah, beer in Utah is 3.2%. It's the law. I don't know if they've changed it. In liquor stores, you could get higher percentage. But if you went to a grocery store and you bought beer in Utah, it's 3.2%. You got to drink about 25 of them over a case to feel anything. Maybe that's not the case, but still 3.2. It's low. So we would cross the border. And this was before, you know, they made high alcohol type beers. And it was a malt liquor. It wasn't as thick as like an Old English 800, but it was a malt liquor. And I think the percentage on it was something like 8%, which for kids in Utah, I was like, that's, you're drinking almost three beers to one. And so kids would get hammered, and we were so stupid. And so anyway, I think we bought, I'm not even kidding you, there was a display with all these cases of Country Club malt liquor, and everybody kicked in for the party because you're going to get your money back. Plus the, you know, the fraternity is going to make money. And I think we bought, I don't know, 25 cases of this stuff. And it's in the back of my car. And I just remember going back, and it was like me and like two other friends, and we're crossing the border with like, you know, 18 years old with like 25 cases of Country Club malt liquor. And I remember, and you, like I said, for a, maybe a case of Country Club malt liquor at 8% alcohol back in those days, might've been not even $10. Probably. I probably wouldn't even $10. Might've been $8, $9, something like that. And then we sold them for like $3 a piece. So, I mean, we made good money on that kind of stuff, but it reminds me of Country Club. And I just remember walking in, and in what was cool in these like tiny little, you know, liquor barns that they had in Utah, in Idaho, right at the border. These were like convenience stores, but you would walk in and they would have all the beer in a cooler, and it was the best. And so you walk in there, and then you walk in the cooler, you're like, ooh, they got Country Club on sale for, you know, $8.99 a case or something. And we just kept coming out of there, And you got to think to yourself, like, there's this this cashier there that's thinking that, you know, they're in this tiny town in Idaho going, well, we know what they're doing. And we just loaded the whole thing up. Country Club. I hadn't thought of that beer in forever. Anyway, true story. Probably 25 cases. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like a bootlegger, you know, going across. True story. We got to look it up. White can, and it had a horseshoe on it, blue horseshoe or something. I had to double check on that. True story. Yeah, bootlegging. We're bootlegging right across. And I can't believe they didn't sit somebody there. Like, you want to bust a kid? I mean, my God, we had two. I was nervous. I'm thinking to myself, and I'm so stupid. I would always be the driver because, you know, in college, certain kids have cars, certain guys don't have cars. And in college, like, I had a car, and it was like a big Chevy Blazer, you know. So, you know, I had a ton of room in the back of it. And so we would just, three of us would go, and we just, as many cases of beer that we could, and we're paying in cash too. So the guy's looking at us like, what is going on? It's like 2, 3, 4, 5. And here's a 10. Here's a 5. They're all wrinkled up. Yeah, it kind of looked like Colt 40. It did look like Colt 45. So kind of similar kind of a thing. That's what it looked like. All right, a couple more things. What time do we got here? Oh, 10:15. Yeah, I gotta get going because I got to get back on here at 4 o'clock. I got things to do, people to see, places to go, beer to go buy. Let's see. You might be right, Pine. The cops are paid off by the liquor companies. That's how it works, man. It's just like you never see cops on the roads leaving big casinos. Yeah, you're right. Because think about that. You know, if it came out that all these kids were crossing the border and getting busted, it was like, what the heck with that? In fact, this is a similar style of story. They would sell kegs and things like that. I don't know why we just didn't get kegs. But at the halftime of the Niners Super Bowl victory over Denver, the 55-10, I can't remember what the score was at half. It was a total blowout. And we had a party, and this is a cardinal sin. We ran out of beer at halftime. But I was a freshman, and so I had to stay sober. And we all put money together to go buy another keg. So at halftime of that Super Bowl, it was such a blowout. I had to run. And it was only, like I said, it was only probably 30 minutes to the border. And they, like I said, they had all these bars, and they had all these, you know, small little convenience stores that would make a bunch of money. And I remember buying a keg at halftime of that Super Bowl and running all the way back. And I made it by the fourth quarter. It was already a blowout. The game was already over. But anyway, all right, what else do we have today? Pitching matchups. Luciano today. Oh, real quick, this is not today's draft crush. Let me leave you this today. And I have a Sweet Clean family-friendly caboose pistol, I think. What was my family-friendly caboose pistol today? Oh, I do have one. I have a great Sweet Clean family-friendly caboose pistol for you today. These are not draft crushes. I wrote this. I wrote the chalkboard last night. I wrote that wrong. Today's draft crush, I was going to give you a single draft crush, but this is just in talking to some people, some of the Niners thinking. Let me give you three names. I'm not saying they're going to take these guys, but just some little bit of draft buzz that's going around the Niners. There's a few names that you need to know. One would be a first rounder. I don't know that he would go at number 11, but I know the Niners like Jalen Walker. He's only 6'1", 243. Nolan Smith is the edge rusher that the Eagles got. Nolan Smith ran a 4.39 coming out of Georgia. This is not what Jalen Walker is. But the thing that's interesting about Jalen Walker is he can, and it's, as it says here, this is Eric Edholm from NFL.com. And I got to get Eric on because remember I've told you the story about the fantasy football convention in Pittsburgh and how John Clayton was there running the whole, or basically just taking over the room. And I've told this story numerous times. But the other guy that was there with him as a quote-unquote fantasy football expert beyond players and all this other stuff was Eric Edholm. And at the time, if you remember, Pro Football Weekly, and they used to put out the draft guides and all that stuff. Pro Football Weekly is no longer, but he was a columnist for them, and he came into town and was at that convention as well, and he writes for NFL.com now. Anyway, this is his commentary, is why I put that. But it says, Nolan Smith comparisons. He said, Walker must have a plan for how to deploy him, and I believe it will pay off in time, but patience is warranted as he adjusts to facing NFL fronts. The thing that I know that they like about Jalen Walker is, A, he could be the replacement for Dre Greenlaw in one sense. And then we've talked about this before. If you can be versatile and then you can put your hand in the dirt on third down and you have an end that goes inside, kind of that NASCAR package stuff, where you have an end that goes inside, can rush from the inside on third downs, and Jalen Walker puts his hand in the ground on third down and they bring in a safety. So that, you know, those are your passing downs kind of a thing to team with Fred Warner. And then this guy can both be an edge rusher and a linebacker and that kind of versatility because they need so much to the Niners. I don't know if they take him at 11. He may or may not be off the board. Maybe if they trade down, he might be a guy that you would look at. But I know that there's interest in Jalen Walker. So that's one name to remember. Here's another one because we've talked so much about offensive linemen with the 49ers and would they go early. I think the two favorites of the 49ers, Campbell and Membu, are going to be off the board at number 11. If one of them are there, I think they're going to take him. If not, then here's a guy to consider in the second round. Now, you probably know who this guy is. Josh Simmons. He had a knee injury. Major knee injury, and so he was out the majority of the year, but he can play tackle, he can play guard, but if he was fully healthy, this is a guy that would be talked about amongst the top tackles, and the fact that Edholm and a lot of other people have him in this range in the 30s tells me that if I'm the Niners, and remember, they have 11 picks, and they can move around, and I don't think they're going to move up in the first round from 11, like if there was a guy, I've said this before, like an Abdul Carter that all of a sudden he slips to nine, then I think the Niners might be interested in something like that. But Simmons is a guy that if he's around near the end of the first round, that I could see the Niners coming up and getting him. Or if it's early in the second round, you know, where so they end the first day and then everybody redoes their board. And then the second day starts with like pick 33. And there's always those rumors about teams wanting to move up to get that first pick. A lot of times it's for a quarterback. I can see a lot of teams wanting to move up for this guy early, you know, that like first pick in the second round, because they don't love the knee. Now he could go late in the first round too. I could see the Niners, and remember, they did this for Reuben Foster, didn't work out so well, but where they moved back into the end of the first round. Remember, Reuben Foster was on the phone with the Saints. They were going to take him, and then the 49ers moved in front of the Saints and took Reuben Foster. Unfortunate. But the idea was that I could see the Niners moving up late in the first round, or if he's not taken in the first round because of that knee injury, I could see him going like that first pick or first couple of picks of the second round, because in the second round, it's like, okay, we don't have to pay him as much. The contract isn't quite as long. Let's get Josh Simmons with that knee injury. Let's get him now, because if he doesn't have the knee injury, he would be talked about along with Will Campbell, along with Membu from Missouri as the top tackles. He's a really good athlete. So I could see the Niners looking at him. So that's a name to watch, especially if he's still on the board late in the first, early in the second. I could see him moving. And then the linebacker, if not Jalen Walker, this is a guy that was really well thought of last year. A lot of people had him pegged in the first round. Did not have a great season at Clemson, but is an incredibly good athlete. And he's one of those guys, and I talk about the coverage linebacker. Everybody, you know, wants a linebacker. Great. A lot of college linebackers can move forward. They can shed blocks. They can get to running backs. That's great. But where they get taken advantage of young players at linebacker in the league is in the pass game. And this is a guy, Barrett Carter, that has a lot of good, is a really good athlete, didn't have quite the year and was really well thought of when he came out of high school. And he, for some reason, he's slipping down boards. If this guy was, again, second, third round type of a guy, if he's there, I'd love it if the 49ers took him, and I've heard some buzz there. So as Ed Holmes says, just outside of my top 100, 62-231 remains a worry. That's not really a worry anymore. You're worrying about the 6 foot part of the whole thing. 230 pounds is fine. He can move really well. I'm worried about the pass game. His toughness, smarts, and some coverage ability should help him land on day two profiles like the Bills' Dorian Williams. So anyway, because there's a couple of other linebackers, the kid at UCLA, there's a kid out of South Carolina who's a little bit older. Those guys have been mocked to the 49ers. I'm just saying, if Barrett Carter drops to, say, the third round, if they could somehow have a, depending on who you like in the first round, and then Josh Simmons maybe in the second round, maybe they have to move up to get him, and then a Barrett Carter drops into the third round, you'd have a versatile defender. Like, if that was your first, second, third round, what I just showed you right there, from Jalen Walker to Josh Simmons to Barrett Carter, you'd be doing cartwheels, because you'd have an offensive lineman, I don't know if you'd do Walker and Carter. Maybe you would, because then Walker could go down online and then Barrett Carter could come in. I don't know. But anyway, those are some names that I'm hearing that there's a little bit of buzz around. So just, you know, keep it in your pocket. Maybe it means nothing. Maybe it means something. But it's not draft crush. It's just a few names that I've been hearing some buzz around. So anyway, there you go. This has no bearing whatsoever other than the fact that it has to do with the draft. And I saw somebody post this, so I thought, you know, I'm just going to hit this. I should do this every day until the draft. What are we, 13 days away? But here you go. This is just completely random, not completely off the board because it has to do with the 49ers, but somebody posted this as we're 13 days away from the draft, and I thought I would just play it for you just to put you in a better mood.
49ers select 16th pick in the first round. Wide receiver, Jerry Rice, Mississippi Valley.
We were able to make a trade with New England, and we thought we had a chance, and I'll be darned if it didn't work out for us. I think you'll really be happy with it.
Oh, I think I love it. Ain't no doubt.
That's Bill Walsh, man. So there's Jerry Rice. He looks remarkably similar. I mean, obviously he's got the hair and he's kind of got like a, you know, a 1985 kind of a getup that he's wearing. I think that's like a gold something or other within the thin tie and all that kind of stuff. But they make a trade for New England, or with New England, get the 16th overall pick, get Jerry Rice, who, by the way, had problems with drops early in his career, and I think it turned out okay. I'll double check, but I think it turned out okay. So anyway, that was just, I saw that randomly looking for stuff to talk about on the show, and I thought, well, we just got to play that. You know, you get Jerry Rice in the first round. Yeah, that'd be nice. Anyway, there you go. All right, that is draft talk with the 49ers. One thing before we get out of here for the rest of the day, or, well, until 4 o'clock, I should say. Let me play the sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose Pistol, because now I love playing the Caboose Pistol, because before I used to get in trouble for it. And now that I've got a Caboose Pistol open that actually is my music that I own, then I like playing the Caboose Pistol, because this is actually really funny. Here's today's Caboose.
John Lund Unleashed presents the Caboose Pistol.
Wedged in the crack of her buttocks.
Somehow, someway, Lundo thinks this is the best way to leave a final impression on you for the day.
Yo, Caboose Pistol. Everybody has one.
Did you say Caboose Pistol?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Leave me out of this, you weirdo. Here's John.
Not a weirdo. Just presenting the news to people. I wonder if I have two pieces or not. I know I have one. And it's an anniversary, but do I have another did I have another thing that I wanted to mention to you? No, I guess that's it. All right. No, I didn't have anything else other than that, what I'm going to play for you in a video. I thought I might have one other thing, but I think it's just the one thing that I'm going to show you. Luciano, this and that. Yeah, I think that's it. Okay. It's just the one thing. With the sweet, clean, friendly Caboose Pistol. So it was a year ago yesterday. I saw this today and I thought, oh, a year, but it's a year ago yesterday and we missed it. So that's fine. OJ Simpson passed away at the age of 76 on April 10, 2024. So it's been a year yesterday, I guess. Today's the 11th, right? So a year yesterday for OJ passing away. And this will always be one of my favorite jokes, only because you know things are really a joke when half the people are laughing and half the people are cringing. And nowadays, you just can't do this. I mean, I remember, I think I've told this story before, and this was years ago, actually. Bob Saget was on with Pop and I. We used to, on 95.7 The Game, until it went horribly wrong one day. We used to have comedians on almost weekly. You know, Cobbs and a lot of the comedy clubs that are in the city would want to have these guys on. And we had some of the best comedians in the world on. I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable, except for one day before I play this for you, I'll give you a little story. One day we had this guy on, and I don't even remember what the guy's name was. It was incredibly racist. And he was on, and Greg was on location and I was in the studio. And so my producer kept telling in my ear, let him go, let him go, let him go, let him go. And my program director had run down the hall and was in the other studio doing this, like he was an air traffic controller. I mean, get down a little bit so you can see my hands. And he's screaming. There's a talkback button, right? And he takes it away from the producer and has this thing button pushed down, screaming, got to get him out of the studio. Got to get him out of the studio. it was unbelievable. And the more uncomfortable I got, the funnier he thought it was. And he just kept going and going. And our text line's going crazy and people are pissed off and the phone's ringing and all this kind of stuff. But Papa kept asking him questions because Greg is at home and I'm in the studio. And I kept using the talkback button to the producer because all he had to do was just turn Greg's mic off because we've got this studio and obviously you can't hear Greg at certain times and it's called potting him down. So he said, I'm talking back. I go, pot Greg down. And Greg kept asking him questions and Greg and he was oblivious to the fact that everyone's going crazy. And so finally, I just have to cut the guy off. And I go, all right, man, Cobb's Comedy Club. And then we just went to break. I didn't even say anything. I didn't say, like, and we'll be back on 95.7 The Game or anything like it's just, and we never had comedians after that. Never had comedians after, because they just like, this guy went crazy. He just went totally rogue on us. But I mean, we had some of the best comedians ever, and it sucked because we just had tons of guys. And there was guys who said things that was like, I don't know if we can say that, but I guess we just did. And this guy went totally rogue, and that was his act. I mean, that was his bit. That's what he did. So anyway, long story short, we had Norm Macdonald on before. So I'm going to play a Norm Macdonald cut, and you probably know what this is. But this is when you could still do great comedy, and I don't know that you can do this today because everybody wants to be PC, and nobody wants to make fun of anybody, and nobody wants to get punched in the face by Will Smith and all that kind of stuff. But this is one of the best, like, I don't know, is this 30 seconds? So Norm obviously went in on OJ anytime he could. And so this is, I don't know what year of the ESPYs this was. What year did Woodson win the Heisman? 97, 98, something like that. So it's in that range. So here you go. Here's a little Norm Macdonald on the one-year anniversary of O.J. Simpson's passing.
Charles Woodson, how about that? What a season he had. Great, Manny. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case... all bets are off.
Okay, hold on. Let me move this back a little bit and freeze it. That's Ken Griffey Jr. Look at Ken Griffey Jr.'s face right there. Oh, my God. Because the guys in the back are just cracking up. He's got his eyes closed. Like, oh, I can't believe he did that. Like, it's amazing. And the way that Norm delivered it, Norm MacDonald was absolutely great. Having said that, though, we had Norm MacDonald on twice on the radio. The first time was Papa and I, and it was later on in the show. It might have been like, I don't know, 2:30, something like that. We used to go noon to 3. So it was later on in the show. He was obviously awake, and he was great, and he was in studio, and you got to have these guys in studio. So he was in studio. He was great. And then the next time he came around, we're like, we got to have Norm on. He was great. And then the second time, Norm was like, you know, I'm trying to set him up. So he just wasn't having it. Just was not having it. He was just in a mood. I don't know what it was. And he was horrendous. I mean, just terrible. So anyway, rest in peace, Norm MacDonald. Rest in peace, O.J. Simpson. Yesterday, the Juice passed away at the age of 76. That joke is always funny. Always funny. Uncomfortable jokes like that are always funny. We don't have enough uncomfortable jokes anymore. I don't know. It was unbelievable. I mean, the way he delivered that, but it was like every time in a set, he did that. It was unbelievable. Yeah, Ken Griffey Jr. is like, what in the hell? I mean, it's one of those ones that's like, come on, man, you got to laugh at that. Then everyone's like, oh, unbelievable. Oh, man. Let's see. Dude was up. We'll go back 15 minutes from the end of the show. Larry and Damon are ready to brawl. Really? What are they brawling about? Are they brawling right now? What's going on there? Something like that? Anyway. All right. Here's the deal. I will be back at 4:00 today. If you missed anything on the show, you can go back and you can check anything out. So Warriors update. 2 games left tonight at Portland. Please don't do what you did against San Antonio. And then against the Clippers, I expect they'll be focused in both of those things. Last night, the big game was the Timberwolves. And there's 2 ways to look at it. Now the Warriors control their own fate for 6, but I do not want to see Anthony Edwards in a 7 matchup. He scored 44 last night. How deep of a run? I think they can beat anybody in the Western Conference. I get a little nervous about Denver, but then again, they just replaced their coach. I went on a much longer than intended tangent on Inside the NBA. I just hope they don't ruin it. Giants at Yankees. It's always a litmus test no matter how the Yankees are playing. Bottom of the pint at 4:00 with Larry Kruger. Please tune in during the Giants game. We always have fun with that. And then we do that every Friday, bottom of the pint, both here and during the Krug show. By the way, if you would just telling, you can do it however you want. Tune into this channel, because then when you give supers and everything, because we do supers for Chugs, then it goes to me. Krug's got enough. Please. Pitching matchups, love all 3. Marco Luciano, I double checked on him, hitting 174. We shall see. I wish Luciano could play a position, because struggling at first base, maybe Fitzgerald struggling at second base, although he had 2 hits last time out. But if he's hitting 174, he's not coming up. And then I gave you 3 draft names to watch, just hearing a little bit of buzz. And then I did a sweet, clean, family-friendly Caboose pistol, even though I don't have that on the board there. And that had to do with Norm MacDonald. And a year ago, OJ passed, so I had to play a Norm MacDonald cut. I guess I could have played something for like the Naked Gun or something like that, but that was funnier, I thought. All right, there you go. No Bartles and James tomorrow. I will not have today at 4:00. I'm going to go shopping after I get this up on a podcast and do all those kind of things. I'll go to the store right now. Lots of good thoughts. Modelo's are excellent. That's a good thought. Up next. 11 o'clock. Are they doing 11 o'clock today? I should know these things, John Joseph. 10:34. That'll give you plenty of time. Go to the bathroom, get some coffee, come back, maybe do a little bit of work, even though it's Friday and you're not doing any work. I know you. You're not doing that. So, yeah, jump on with the boys. They're doing 11 o'clock. I'll be back at 4:00. Yeah, I mean, that's outstanding. Just the way it was delivered. You just don't see that anymore. Can't offend anybody. Let me look at your set, like ESPN now. ESPN, there's no way they'd allow that joke. Like ESPN, like, can't tell that joke. You cannot tell that joke. Let's see. Thank you for your support. We're still doing Bartles and James. I know it. Hi, Nathaniel. Very good to see you, my friend. Molson's a good call. I haven't had a Molson in forever. Forever. I'm telling you. All right, let's see what else. All right. That'll do it for today. Not for today. That'll do it for the first part of the show. Remember, 4:00. Come on back, please, and let's hang out. I know you got to do some work. So between now and then, Hi, Miguel. Good to see you. Between now and then, please get a little work in and then come back at 4 o'clock. Pauly Mack, Pauly's Particles, along with Creative Tony. They're coming up at 11 o'clock on the Bay Area Sports Collective. So it's very simple. If you're watching on X, if you're watching on Instagram, thank you so much. Bay Area Sports Collective on YouTube. Also, Bay Area Sports Collective on Twitter. Just look it up. We're on Twitter, X, and we post a bunch of stuff on there now, too. And John Lund Unleashed, please subscribe. Keep those alerts on because you never know if there's breaking news. I could even be on before 4 o'clock. And those thumbs up really help the algorithm. So please, even if you're watching on Instagram or X, please come over to YouTube. Give us a thumbs up. Give us a like because that helps spread the word about the show. Thank you so much for hanging out. We will see you or hear you or see you at 4 o'clock when we do Bottom of the Pint. Enjoy your Friday. Oh, whoa, whoa. I didn't see this. Hi, Bill M. Sorry, I almost screwed up. Blue Moon. Oh, that's not a bet. You know what? I have some Blue Moon in the outside fridge. I almost missed Bill M. Never would do that on a super. Blue Moon. That's not a bad one. That's kind of growing on me. Light kind of a beer. Because like I said, it's got to be something where as I'm drinking this thing. Thank you, Bill M. I appreciate the insight there. My wife is a big fan of Blue Moon. She's not a big beer drinker, but she does like Blue Moon. All right. I think finally that'll do it. Hi, 49ers diehard. Who else? I miss anybody else today? Very good to see everybody today. If I did not mention you today, sorry about that. Hi, James. Good to see you. Think I hit everybody just about. But anyway, everybody have a great Friday. I digress. Great Friday until 4 o'clock. And I'm sure I will see you back then for the Giants game. See y'all then. Have a great Friday between now.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!